Welcome to Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast, the show about how to deliberately design your intentional family culture. And I'm your host, Jody Chafee. Today, I'm featuring Dr. Mark Leonard, the happiness dude. Dr. Leonard has been married for 28 years. He has 6 kids, and the 9th grandchild is on the way. He's a doctor of education, organizational leadership. He has taught organizations around the world how to improve human capital and increase teamwork, but realized that his passion is helping the individual. Dr. Leonard is a certified high-performance coach and helps people through their through group coaching and individual coaching achieve more in their lives. The focus is on developing their future vision and growing into that vision. So today we're going to talk about that, how to create your vision and how to start implementing that vision today. So welcome, Dr. Leonard. So excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah, this is going to be great. So I really love this idea of talking about vision. First of all, I want to ask you and talk to you about your vision and how, at what point did you know that you were the happiness dude? You know, when did you realize that's your vision?
Wow. When did I realize I was the happiness dude? So I've always been known as someone that's just happy and cheerful. And I get in groups and people say, there's just something different about you. And once I got used to that, well, was that uncomfortable? Why are they saying I'm different? And I realized what they were saying is that I just have a happiness about me in my life. And when I was in my doctoral studies at Pepperdine, I had a really good friend of mine who gave me an idea for a dissertation. And it was in that dissertation, as I was studying, that I realized I fell in love with this whole idea of positive psychology, of how to approach the life that we live with all of its vicissitudes, with all these things that are popping at us all the time, how to just be able to roll with it and how to find happiness in life's trials. And it was at that moment I realized I needed to understand how to maintain happiness and how to help others have that. And that's kind of the instantiation or the beginning of my happiness journey was in my doctoral studies at Pepperdine.
Wow. So that's awesome because, you know, I just feel like it's almost ingrained in so many of us that as soon as there's a struggle, as soon as there's a trial, oh, life stinks, you know, oh, my life is so hard. Or, you know, we tend to look at things as and the trials and the struggle as like we're being punished or something like that. And, you know, there's such a stigma around failure and struggle that it's very negative. It's very negatively looked at.
Well, we've almost been conditioned, right? That once you spill your milk, right? Remember the old don't cry over spilt milk. Well, the reason why that saying is around is because people would be upset and it would ruin their day. And what we found is that when you focus on the negative things that happen, and they happen to every single one of us, no one's impervious to it. We all have negative. We all have trial. We all have difficulty. We all have that unseen being who seems to be attacking us from all areas.
Yeah.
But yet, if we allow our day to be defined by 15 seconds, we're allowing less than 0.1% to dictate how we react to the rest of the day.
Wow. Ouch. But it's true, right? Like so many of we do that. We do. Like, so it, so what's the solution? So what have you found is like, you say, don't focus on that. So what do you focus on? How do you divert your attention away from that and towards, or not away from that? I don't know. What do you say?
So a couple different ideas. Just this morning, true story. I was in the kitchen. I was making some breakfast burritos for the family. And the very first egg that I attempted to crack did a marvelous job of cracking. And invariably, I seemed to have more shell in the bowl than I had egg. Nice. And my wife goes, well, don't get upset about this. And I said, actually, I'm not. And I just turned on the sink and I poured the shells and the egg down the sink. And it was an egg.
Yeah.
There is nothing more. It was just an egg. It's just spilled hot chocolate. It's just someone else having a bad day, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to impact us. We have the ability to assign feelings, to assign emotions to circumstances. Mm-hmm. And in our conditioning, we sometimes believe that when the eggs crack, that we should be upset. When really we could condition ourselves to say and ask this, this is the question you ask yourself. Is this the feeling I want to have right now?
Right.
In the moment, is this the feeling I want to have right now? If it is, then great, keep going down that path. But if you don't want to have that feeling, then you can ask yourself, what feeling do I want to have? Mm-hmm. And begin to focus on what you want to have. And people say, oh, yeah, right, Dr. Mark. Yeah, sure. That's really easy to say. You're a happy-go-lucky guy. Hey, look, I have bad things happen. I've had tragedy happen. And, well, you never know where things are going to go on a podcast.
Yeah, right.
When I was diagnosed with cancer the first time, it was tragic, right? It was... Yeah. You know, Mark, you have lung cancer. And I remember reeling from that and feeling like everything's going to change. And even all the way up to the day that they were taking the tumor out of my lung, and I was going to be faced with toting an oxygen tank for the rest of my life. I remember sitting there thinking, all I want is to mow the yard. And if there's anything you know about me, I hate yard work. All I wanted in that moment was to mow the yard, because it was symbolic of, I want to triumph over this trial.
Yeah.
And so one of the other things that you can do in the moment of the eggshells cracking, of the disasters around you, the accident, the spilled hot chocolate, or the cancer, is then ask yourself, how do I want to live from here?
Wow. Wow. So how much does like mindfulness come into that practice? I mean,
mindfulness
about that
is key. Yeah. It's really key to focus and use several different mindful techniques. I have a morning devotional that includes, for me, I have a morning routine that includes a morning devotional that includes, you know, reading from scripture, from praying and things of that nature. But I also have a routine where I practice meditation. Mm-hmm. And for years, I was like, yeah, right. I don't want to be anywhere near
hokey.
That.
That's so, yeah.
Yeah, it's so hokey. And then someone finally taught me a different way to do it. And I was all, oh, that works. I like it. And it was really simple. It was just a 2-minute breathing technique that allowed me to breathe in through my nose, out through the mouth, and just begin to give my body permission to release the tension.
Yeah.
And after 2 minutes of doing a short little technique, I was then able to clear my mind. So that was one aspect of mindfulness. Another aspect of mindfulness is I am constantly engaging my mind with who and what I want to become.
Yeah.
I don't look at a New Year's resolution as this great epiphany that December 31st happens and all of a sudden I'm all, hey, I know what I want to do with my life.
Right?
No. I'm constantly engaging my mind with where do I want to go and who do I want to be? Because I'm more impressed in my life with who people want to be as opposed to what they accumulate.
Wow. Interesting. So it's not about your past. It's about your future.
Everything is about your future. We all have a past, you know, I think what was it? Puma that said, put your behind past you. It's really true. Just keep that stuff behind you.
Yeah.
Because who needs, who needs to focus on that? And in my coaching, I spend a lot of time helping people frame who they want to become in the future. In fact, can I turn the table here for just a half a second here, Jody? Jody, I bet you have some great New Year's goals. I've loved getting to know you a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
But if I was to ask you 2 years from now, when everything is figured out, when you know where you're living, what your vision is, how you're parenting, how you are communicating with your parents, with your husband's parents, how everything is working in the community, your health, all of that. When everything is worked out, how would you describe to me what that looks like?
Wow. Oh. It would definitely have a lot of involvement of freedom and autonomy and love and compassion and patience and being productive. You know, the word that has really been shaping my perspective is just being a producer, being in the sense of being proactive and looking for solutions, you know? And so, yeah, I think that when we arrive, and I do hope that it does look like that in 2 years, I hope within 2 years we can achieve
that. Okay, stop. Hang on. You just gave yourself an out here. You just gave yourself an out. You said, okay. I hope. I hope I get there. Mm-hmm. Well, why are you giving yourself an out? How about change your mindset to be, this is what I'm going to be.
Yeah.
This is who I'm going to be in that process. Not, I hope it happens. I hope is something that we say when we order our favorite pizza and we hope that they put a couple extra toppings on.
Okay. So that's interesting because I do agree with you that, you know, hope is, it's not a bad thing, right?
No.
But it's like, I think you're right though, that sometimes we put this belief around hope that you're right. It kind of takes off the responsibility. It takes away responsibility away from us. Yeah. Is that kind of what you're saying? And then it becomes like a thing out there that, we're not accountable for in the way.
Well,
so what do you think? Yeah.
A little bit of hope has to do from the psychological construct of it, or the psychological meaning of hope, has to do with our ability to see multiple paths to get to the same end game. Okay. Think of it as a roadmap, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we love to do as a family, okay. Let me rephrase. One of the things that my wife and I love to do as a family, and the teenagers have grown to appreciate, is we will take a 4 to 5 week road trip. We've done that for a couple of summers. And there are days that we know we're starting where we live, and we know we want to end up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Well, there are lots of ways to get there. And if the road is closed, or if there's traffic, or if we want to see something else, hope allows us to see the different pathways to get there. I can go over, under, through, around, right? Yeah. Hope is really that ability to see another path. And if we can see another path, suddenly when the road closure, the symbolic road closure of life happens, we look at our internal GPS and we go, hey, what if we took this path? Let's go see what's over here.
Yeah.
We're still going to get there, but let's go experience it along the way. And suddenly when we begin to think in that mannerism, mm-hmm. it takes stress down.
Yeah.
It improves our creativity.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you become proactive. You become that producer. You're looking for those options. So that's so cool. And I love like everything you said. I'm just like, okay, let's keep, like, there's so many different angles, I think, but we wanted to focus on like this idea of the vision. Yeah. I mean, I love that, you know, when things happen, we want to try and, you know, change the narrative away from this frustration, this, I need to react out of anger. I need to react out of just life's over, life's frustrating, or that somebody's under, I'm under attack because the universe hates me or something, you know, that what you're saying basically is that when things like that happen, our vision is what keeps us going towards that destination, even though these things are happening, because it's giving us this idea like, okay, even though there's a roadblock, you ask yourself, okay, what's another direction? What's another angle? What's another way to get to this vision that I'm holding in my mind of what my, you know, the ultimate destination is, or what I'm holding for myself is what is maybe success or health or whatever it is. So how do we cultivate that vision then? You know, how do we cultivate this hope that even when those detours and roadblocks happen, that there is another way around them to get to where we want to go?
Yeah, great question. One of the ways that we do that is we focus upon our best self. And so I was asking, you know, in 2 years, when you have everything figured out and you're living your best life, you gave me a list of about 9-10 words that really described it. But if I was then to turn around and ask you, if you were to use a word that describes the very best of who Jody is, the very best of who she wants to be in the future, what word would you pick?
Authentic.
Ooh, authentic. Why is that word so important to you?
Because it implies freedom and it implies confidence in who I am and what I'm contributing, who I'm... And that I'm, you know, in a lot of ways I'm uninhibited because I'm not afraid of how people judge me or how, you know, what the result may be of me being authentic and being myself, you know, that, and in not this, not to say that I want to be like crude or anything like that, because I'm not afraid of the reaction, but that, whatever the reaction is, because I'm trying to be authentic in myself and in a positive way, I'm not going to be afraid of, you know, how people respond to that. If they're, you know, if they're afraid of it or not or whatever, that's, you know, them. That's their story, not mine.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up with that, because I think it's really, really important, is if you are being authentic to really who you are, the best of you is authentic. One way that you can measure your progress is you could ask yourself, how would my authentic self approach this? How would my authentic self approach something that I want to do that maybe pushes me outside of my comfort zone? I have a big, great vision of something I want to accomplish. How would my authentic self? Right? Because that's your word.
Okay.
Happens to be one of mine. So of all the words for you to choose, you picked one of mine too. I love it. Yeah, it is. It's a great word. And the other thing that I would do is to help people craft that vision, I would actually have them go through a series of two or three of those words, the best of who they are, and then begin to measure yourself. How fully are you living that today? What could you do to live that even more fully tomorrow?
Yeah.
If you're being really authentic today, what would be increasing that by 1% look like? Just 1%.
Yeah. The 1% is attainable, you know, if just one, you know, the first action that, or the first choice you have to make is, okay, I can be authentic in this small moment of, you know, talking to my children or my spouse or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it is. It is that 1%. A 1% difference is barely perceptible change. So it doesn't have to be this huge thing. We're not asking someone to wake up in the morning and say, hey, I know you've never been an astronaut, but we're thinking you should walk on the moon walk on the moon by noon.
Yeah.
Wait.
Wait.
A lot of people set their New Year's resolutions kind of with that mentality. Instead, ask yourself, what is the absolute best of you? And how can you live that more fully today? How could you live that more fully tomorrow? And how will you remind yourself that that is the best of who you are? That helps craft a vision, because now you have a measurement to then ask yourself, you know, someone wants to have that difficult conversation with a spouse, or they want to go for a raise, or they want to quit their job and start their dream. You now have measurements to say, how would my, insert your best words, approach this? Mm-hmm. And it crafts that vision. Everything that needs to be forward thinking. Yeah. I'm not forgetting the past. I'm just choosing to build upon it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So I want to go a little bit deeper into this idea of the obstacles and maintaining that, because I think that a lot of times, you know, we allow ourselves to get, you know, hijacked by the negativity or feeling like I don't see any progress, or, you know, things like that, where, or we're holding on to a narrative of who we are from our past. Right. How do we overcome those things and maintain the vision?
You know, boy, my mind is firing in 1,000 different directions with that question. That's a great question. One of the things I'm thinking about is that negative self-talk, because that's one that I find in my coaching with my clients. And let me give you a quick definition of my client. It's anyone, and I work with anyone who is ready to get to that next level in life. They may not know what it is, but they know there's a new level for them, and they're ready to make that change. And I've had single moms who are on unemployment trying to figure out what they want to do with their life. And I've had Navy fighter pilots who are considering running for, you know, national public office. And everything in between. So, so when I talk about my clients, you as Jody, or as a listener, or someone that's participating in this, I want you to interject you in this so that it is effective for you. The negative self-talk that so many, all of us tend to have can be, I like how you said hijack. It can hijack your feelings, your senses, your responses. But I find a thing that I really like to do is I like to use science to beat the hijacking. Here's how it works. I've given my hijacker, my negative voice, a name. Okay. And for simplicity's sake, I'm going to call Frank. Now, if your name is Frank, my caveat is it's not you. Okay.
There you go.
But you know, I like to name that negative voice Frank. Yeah. And I can talk to it. And I can say, Frank, that's not what I want to be feeling, thinking, or acting right now. You don't have control over me. This is what I want. So in neuropsychology and neuroscience, what you're doing is you're addressing it. You're not running away from it.
Right.
You're addressing it and saying, this is what I don't want. This is what I want. And then here's the magical piece. I don't want this. I want this. Now go connect with someone. Go connect with someone. Make a phone call. Talk with someone face to face. Look them in the eyes. Because what you're going to do is you're going to have a human connection, which releases chemicals, which will allow you to solidify the positives that you want.
Wow.
So, okay. Hey, Frank, I don't have time for that negative voice right now. I don't want to feel unworthy. I don't want to feel... the negative things.
Yeah,
sorry.
All the things. You're like, I don't know negative feelings. What are you talking about?
No. Here's what's ironic. Yeah. The last time I felt negative self-talk was this morning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I've gotten used to calling it out and saying, I don't want that.
Yeah.
And a little trick I do, and my wife is probably in the other side of the house, so she'll probably hear this, and she'll go, oh, that's what he's doing. A little trick I do is I call it out in my head. Frank, that's not what I want to be feeling. I don't want to feel unworthy. I don't want to feel
pessimistic or.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I talk, you know, negative self-talk with me is I don't want to feel that way about myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I want to feel is that people like me for who I am, for the happiness and joy that I bring. And then I turned around to my wife and we have an island in the kitchen. She was on one side and I was on the other. And I just looked her straight in the eyes and, you know, maybe I'll compliment her. Maybe I'll ask her, you know, what she's doing, but I just make a quick connection. Mm-hmm. And that connection solidifies the positive.
Yeah.
Because she's a voice I trust.
I love this so much because I think that a lot of times, you know, that they say misery loves company, you know, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of times we want validation for our negative feelings, right?
Sure.
Like we seek that validation or like, you know, even I love Brene Brown and she's awesome. And she talks about like how, shame cannot exist with empathy. And so you need to go and almost speak your shame. Right. And so mm-hmm. it's like, you're speaking, but what you're saying is like, we should just tell that shame, hey, I don't want to feel you right now. And then go and speak empathy for yourself to somebody that you want to connect with.
There you go.
And that brings out the positive things.
Yeah. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to rewire our brain to think in a new pathway, right? We were talking about pathways. We're talking about hope earlier.
Yeah.
Hope is seeing a new path. Well, we're actually firing a new pathway for when I feel this, this is what I want. When I feel this, this is what I want. You do that enough, suddenly the response becomes, when I feel this way, that this is what happens.
Right.
We're changing the architecture. Practice. Yeah. So when you said, you know, and kind of pointing a little joke here, like, oh, well, you know, you don't have that. I still have it. I've just gotten better at practicing it.
Right.
And so the final piece to this is patience. Mm-hmm. Patience.
Well, because it probably takes a lot of, like you said, practice. It's a practice. It takes consistency and time.
Yeah. Intentional and patient. This is what I want. This is what I'm acting towards. My actions are moving towards this. My thoughts are moving towards this. And be patient along the way because you're still going to need to stop and get gas on your journey to your new you. Mm-hmm. You still have to stop and go get the snacks and see the sights and see the crazy stories that happened at Walmart. You still have to have those things in life.
Yeah. Right?
Hopefully you all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you have to have these weird things that happen and then go, okay, I'm moving forward. I'm choosing to move forward patiently. This earth was not created in a day.
Right.
So why are you expecting to be perfect today? Well, neither are
problems. You know, it's like, you know, the history that we do carry, it didn't develop. Usually it doesn't develop overnight, right? It's something that a lot of times it's the mindset that we've carried with us throughout our whole lives that we're trying to adjust. And so I think that that's the next question I want to address to you is, you know, if you have all this baggage, right? Mm-hmm. And it almost feels so insurmountable to some people, right? You know, what's your advice for people who just like, they look at their history and they feel like they have nothing positive to look at to affirm a better future, right? How do you change your mindset if you have like, it's almost like you feel like zero affirmation of accomplishing anything positive?
So first, thank you. Great question, Jody. Great question. First, I am not a psychologist. I do not deal and work with that. But with that being said, so if you need help and you need medication or you need someone to talk to, go do that. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Go do the courageous thing and do that. Please. As you know, let me just put it this way. We have a history of depression and anxiety in our family. Mm-hmm. Go talk to someone. Okay. That's number one. Number two, when I work with clients, and it seems like most of my clients, it's funny how many people come to me and they feel depressed and they feel that, like, I don't know where to go. I don't really. So what I begin to ask of them as we begin to look at different areas of their life, do, you know, maybe it's their relationship, their career, their health, their mission, their lifestyle. It could be any of these different areas. And we begin to explore, who are your cheerleaders in these different areas? Okay. You know, what is a voice, someone that you really trust, who no matter what, through thick and thin, have always been there for you? Maybe it's mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or a teacher or a best friend, or maybe it's someone you haven't talked to in many, many years. And then you begin to ask, what would they suggest? What would they say? How would they support you? What would they say about you? Well, grandma's grandma. She loved me no matter what. Oh, wait, she loved you no matter what?
Well, of course.
That's what grandmas do. I say, yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great that you have someone that loves you so much that no matter what, you have that?
Yeah.
What would she ask you? What would she suggest you do differently? Mm-hmm. Invariably, someone can come up with some name of something and they would find what that piece is. And we latch onto that. Because once we can latch onto one of those areas in their life, in their circle, their sphere around them, then we can begin to expand it, to enlarge it. Because once we have one, we know we could build.
Yeah.
And everyone has at least one. I've never met someone that doesn't. And I've been doing this a very long time.
Awesome. Wow. So thank you. This has been... You know, I really love this whole concept, this whole idea. I love even that you talked about, you just in passing, you were like, consult your internal GPS, because I feel like in my analogy of being developing our family culture, it's a road trip, it's a journey. And that the vision is like the GPS, because, you know, we do find ourselves getting lost or, you know, detours, sidetracked, and that we have to check in with that global positioning system going, where am I? And where's another alternative to get to continue toward my destination? And that's so important that we adopt this into our family constructs of how we're, you know, raising our children and interacting with each other and things like that. Because when we're bringing this in to how we interact with each other, you know, we're changing that narrative away from anger when you crack the egg and it spills everywhere, you know, anger at spilling the milk or whatever. And towards, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, so I love that. So tell us a piece of advice about how we translate this into the way we interact with our families.
My favorite. It's interesting. Have you ever noticed someone that is older? And we hear the story of the millionaire who is dying and all he wants is his family around him. That's because we are wired to have connection. We're wired to be connected with family, with friends, with others. Yeah. And yet it's so interesting to me. I hear my teenagers talk about their friends' families and some of the things that are happening in their home with the siblings, like siblings are bickering and fighting. And now look, it was six kids and with the ninth grandchild on the way, we've had our fair share of
bickering. A little something about bickering. Right?
Look, that's part of life, but we've also taught them how to communicate. And we ask them, how would your best self want to treat your sibling or your spouse? Mm-hmm. And well, but they did this to me. Oh, that's not what I asked. I didn't ask what they did to you. I'm asking, how would your absolute best self respond? Mm. Now, go back to those best self words, right? Authentic. I'll give you my other two. Courageous and serving. So how would your most authentic, courageous serving self, talk with your wife or your husband, your spouse, your mom, your dad, or whoever. Well, invariably what comes up is love. Oh.
Yeah.
So how could you show that more? Well, they did this. Nope, that's not what I asked. Stop. I don't, you know, but they did. No, stop. Anytime you start a sentence with but, you can pretty much guarantee you're going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
So ask yourself, how could you respond better? How would you like it to turn out? What could you do differently? Mm-hmm. How would your best self respond to them? And in relationships, you know, we've been married 28 years and it's just feels like the beginning. Mm-hmm. Wow. We're high school sweethearts. We got married 2 weeks out of high school. We had every reason to not make it work. And my wife and I are on a path to restore marriage. We're on a path because we know what it's like to have the cancer scares, to have a child that was sexually abused by a neighbor, to have tragedy strike in our household. And we knew that we have a choice of how we wanted to treat one another with love.
Yeah.
With absolute love. I could still be upset and love the person. I don't have to lash out. Mm. Authenticity, we were not born out of the womb fighting with everyone around us. A baby, my newest granddaughter is just 1 month old. And out of the womb, she attaches to her mother. Mm-hmm. She attaches to family. It is that type of love that we should have for everyone around us.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You know, yeah. It's so beautiful that's why I'm doing this, why this is my mission to, you know, there are solutions to these struggles that we face as families. And yeah. When I see family struggling, I just want to grab them by the shoulders and be like, it doesn't have to be this way. We want to help. I want to help. There are answers. There are resources, you know, and ways to find, you know, and develop into that best self as individually and collectively as a family.
Absolutely.
So, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And any concluding thoughts you want to share or last? Looked like you were going to say one more thing, so I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, if you know anything about me, I always have one more thing to say. But I think just the last thing I would want to say is in this new year, this new decade, take a moment to reflect upon where you were 10 years ago and how much you have overcome, how much you have triumphed, how many things you have been able to do. How much wonderful good you have done for this world. The world needs you. The world needs your beauty, your grace, your touch. And if you don't know where you're going, just start by asking yourself, who am I? Who do I want to be? And how can I just begin to just live just 1% towards that? Just each day. Just how can I change just one little thing about me? Not all of it, just one.
Yeah.
Take a little step in that direction. It's a marvelous transformation. We are put on this earth to grow, to love, to bless, to lift, to succor, to take care of one another. So ask yourself, who do I want to be in that process? And I don't care what you were this morning, what you were yesterday, or where you have been. It doesn't matter. I'm only interested in what your new story is. Who can you be moving forward? Because the world needs that courage. The world needs your dreams. You were touched by other people's dreams. Go live yours today. If there's one thing I could do, is just go live your dream today. That's what I want to do. If you want to talk to Jody, if you want to talk to me, let's talk. And let's go live that today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. Where can we find you and connect more with the Happiness Dude?
Yeah, if you go to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you can find me as The Happiness Dude. If you are looking for my website, you can go to thehappinessdude.com or The Happiness Breakthrough, because my training programs and my coaching are all about helping people break through.
Yeah.
Break through those things that are limiting them so they can achieve their full measure.
Nice.
I'm passionate about it. Go have your breakthrough. So thehappinessbreakthrough.com or The Happiness Dude everywhere else.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. Thank you. I loved having you and talking with you.
Thank you.